Start spreading the news.
Well, well, someone's in a good mood.
Of course I am, Dave. Know what day it is?
I know it's Shocktober. I mean, Cybertober, but...
No. I said the day, not the month. It's Friday the 13th, Dave. I am so pumped to finally... Huh. That's odd. Usually when someone says Friday the 13th in a dramatic fashion, a window breaks off screen. Well, anyway, I'm super pumped that we're finally going to be watching a Friday the 13th movie that I'm sort of interested in. Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh, is that today?
Oh, you son of a... I knew you wouldn't have forgotten.
Ah, you got me. Of course I didn't forget. In fact, I may have concocted a little surprise for the occasion. You know, the Hilton Star Trek Experience Simulator I bought a couple months back? Well, I had Chad do an analysis on the simulator components and ask him if he would be able to recreate the simulations outside of the shuttle, you know?
Wait. Are you saying...
Mm-hmm. Chad, activate Crystal Lake Simulation Program 1.
Whoa, this is amazing. We're actually in Camp Crystal Lake. Wait, this doesn't mean that there's an actual Jason that's gonna come kill us, is there?
No, Mike. This technology may be based on Star Trek holodecks, but unlike the Enterprise, turning off the safety protocols in our simulator is not an option.
Oh, thank God. What the hell?
Okay, either the shrooms I ate an hour ago have finally kicked in, or the store has somehow transformed into a cabin by the woods.
Ooh, sorry about that, Jackie. I should have warned you before I activated the Crystal Lake simulation. I imagine suddenly floating in midair would be kind of unsettling.
Crystal Lake? Wait a minute. You mean...
Oh, yes. We're finally watching Jason Takes Manhattan. I've been waiting all year for this.
Wait a minute. If this is all some kind of virtual simulation or whatever, and we're about to watch Jason Takes Manhattan, wouldn't it make more sense to have Chad simulate where the movie actually takes place?
Oh, Jackie, you ruined the surprise!
You mean...
Yep. Chad, activate Jason Takes Manhattan Simulation Program 2.
Oh, man. So awesome. I can't believe... Wait, is that a mountain range? And why are those people saying A after every word? And... That a Tim Hortons?
Something must be wrong with the program you made, Dave. Clearly this isn't Manhattan.
Manhattan? What are you talking about?
You said this simulation was supposed to be where the movie takes place. You know, Jason Takes Manhattan?
Oh, no. You misunderstood, guys. The simulation is where the movie was filmed, not where the story is supposed to take place.
So, where the hell are we?
Vancouver?
Wait, so do they even go to New York in all this damn movie or what?
You'll find out, eh?
I've got to be a part of it.
Just when you thought it was safe to enjoy your regularly scheduled programming, Jason returns. Because one horror franchise, despite diminishing returns, refuses to let this IP die tonight. obligatory Friday the 13th episode. I am your crazy Ralph stand-in, David Snyder. Send out the maritime signal. Snort a line of top dollar toot. And start spreading the news. It's Friday the 13th, Part 8. Jason Takes Manhattan.
There's a storm at sea.
You're all gonna die.
And it's blowing terror to the Big Apple. Now, the only safe place to be.
You are dead meat! Yo, man, it's cool, man, it's cool.
Is out of town. Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, rated R. Now playing at theaters everywhere.
All right, well, guys, we finally jumped on that cruise ship and we went to Manhattan. We've been talking about it for what feels like years now. I feel like every time we've done a Friday the 13th movie, invariably ends with Mike saying, "Isn't there one where like they go to New York or something?" Like, we should watch that one. And we finally have. And I gotta say, if you recall, in the last episode, Part 7 and Part 8 are pretty low for me for Friday the 13th movies. However, after watching it this time, after it's been probably a few years, it held up better than I remember.
Oh, I thought this one was just trash from a garbage can covered in New York City certified organic toxic sludge.
I know. To be clear, I'm not saying this is a good movie whatsoever. I'm just saying that it wasn't quite as bad as I remember.
I was promised him taking Manhattan.
Okay, I know that we've talked about this before. What has been brought up before that it's less of a Manhattan movie and more of a boat movie. And and I knew that going in. I was like, okay, if there's not going to be too much New York, whatever. That's fine.
Your expectations were like tempered.
But it still didn't meet my expectations. Like, the New York stuff was so bad that I wish it had just only been boat stuff.
Well, because the boat stuff is, like, not terrible. Like, the idea of having Jason on a boat, like, in a confined space, like, I think it's fine on paper.
Yeah, I saw was, like, one of the, like, the behind the scenes of this is, like, someone had an idea for a Jason on a boat movie, and someone had an idea for a Jason in Manhattan movie, and they kind of put them together.
And they just blew through some lines of top dollar toot, and were like, let's put them together! I'm sorry, Michael, he wanted to use the top dollar toot line, and I snatched it up.
Oh, it's fine. It's a good line.
It's one of my favorite moments in this
movie.
What
are you, a lightweight? This is some top dollar toot.
You know how teens talk about drugs.
Man, you want to sound cool doing cocaine? Call it toot.
Call it toot.
All right, well, school is out, you two. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Michael.
I'm sorry. He's looking at me accusingly.
I'm just thinking of toot.
You could say this to the line again. We're always thinking of toot.
What have you two been doing? Have you been doing
drugs?
Have
you girls been doing drugs?
And, of course, Jackie.
There is no more restaurant. That moment on when they're leaving the boat where we, the audience, saw, like, Jason come to kill the remaining students in, like, the restaurant.
The extras.
But the characters didn't know that, and he just abandoned his classmates to die.
That's a lot of issues with this film. That is one of the many small things in this movie that made me actually kind of enjoy myself. It's kind of the stuff we don't see. Like, basically, in that scene, the suggestion is, I mean, yeah, we know there's people in there, and there's a killer aboard, but Whatever. They're probably dead, right?
We only have one tiny little lifeboat. Who cares? My captain dad
Screw
is dead.
Screw those people. Like, for all we know, those people, like, were still on the boat after
exactly.
they left.
They were still in there going, like, they're coming back, right?
Yeah, we locked up the door.
As the engines catch fire.
Yeah, they had actually locked the door. They prevented Jason from getting in, and
he just gave up and walked away. And they're
still
alive.
Yeah, they were waiting for someone, anyone, to come and get him out of there. Then finally, they just died with the boat sank.
I feel like there was still like five other kids, and they just straight up were like, fuck it.
Because when the movie starts. So just to kind of get into it,
you get into plot. I'm sorry, I'm pulling all my nitpicks from 50 minutes in.
Fine. Like, this movie is extremely simple. There's a high school graduating class that's having a trip from presumably.
This is weird.
Right away, I'm disagreeing with this being simple.
It's a high school graduating class that looks like they're graduating, as Jackie pointed out, in the middle of winter. And like, also the class size is like 15 people.
And their only chaperones are some teacher and some mean principal type.
And they it's also a working trip where like they're expected to do some school stuff.
They have
stuff,
to have their biology project.
Well, we'll get to that scene. But just basically like just to kind of do the general synopsis of this movie. There is a graduating class that's having a trip from New Jersey to New York.
Sure.
Because if we recall, well, this is under the assumption that this series is still set in New Jersey, because the previous entries have said that this is New Jersey. And now I'm not too geographically minded, but I'm pretty certain that New Jersey is pretty close to New York.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a cruise ship. That's a like drive into the city for the night kind of thing.
Well, I'm thinking like, are they out to sea?
Yeah, I would presume so.
They're just loose in the Atlantic.
So maybe they just maybe they went out to international waters a ways,
well,
and then
they
were going to come back to Manhattan.
From that famous East Coast bay with those famous East Coast mountain ranges that they're so well known for
in New Jersey,
just the sweeping wilderness vistas of tall mountains. That's what everyone thinks of when they think of the area out around New York City.
It should be this. I'll get into this later. This needed to be like Jason takes Staten Island and he starts just like killing everyone on the ferry or something like that.
A ferry would have made more sense.
And then there's a bigger time crunch because that's only a like 15 minute ride.
You could just do it in real time.
Yeah. He just is murdering commuters. Anyway, I already punched the film up. We can get back to the actual plot.
Well, there's not much left.
I mean,
Jason gets on board,
and
he starts
killing
people, and then he chases them to New York, and he has
which is a scary, scary place.
It's scarier than Jason.
Wow. Welcome to
and
New
York.
And
then Jason, they lead Jason into the sewer. He gets killed by toxic waste, or does he?
Or does he?
And that's kind of the movie. In that sense, it's very simple, but there's the devil's in the details, people. And there are some bewildering things about this movie. I believe there's a character that is way more evil than Jason is in this movie. We'll get to that character. But just kind of first impressions of this movie, like when the movie started to get going and we get introduced to our characters, what was your general vibe going into
I was bummed that they killed off the coolest character right away, which is the
JJ?
Girl just shredding on the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
The girl with like that really cool hair shredding on a pink guitar.
And she was the most likable character on that boat.
I know, she's trying warn her friend about like, don't mess with that mean girl because she sucks. How about you just like hang out with me, your friend? He's
like, student, like they look like they're in like a different movie or something. Like they look too cool to be in this movie.
Yeah, I feel like those kids wouldn't have agreed to go on the grad trip because they're like, I don't want to hang out with all those fucking like dipshits
we're actually like making one of the most important early 90s shoegaze albums of all time right now.
Unfortunately, the filmmaker was too busy being horny. Which is always it's a Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
the
it was cool that
she
got killed with her guitar, but it was kind of a bummer that it was like a weak execution.
Weak kill.
You just see the guitar like flail.
Well, there is one saving grace. Like, I may be wrong, but when we find her body later in the movie, maybe I'm mistaken, but it looked like there was like a hole in her head where the electric guitar, I guess, stabbed her.
There's no way to tell because this movie's so like,
oh my god,
it's so dark and cheap.
It looks so ugly. Like, it's visually just really ugly.
Which is like
unsurprisingly, and like I get it, that is why this was not Manhattan for most of the movie, because that would be too expensive. So we get boat, which is basically just like
studio. But even as far as boats go, like, it's not a cute boat. Like, it looks, the whole thing just looks grimy and damp and like Vancouver-y. And it's the opposite wow. of, no offense, Vancouver, but like, everything just looks like cold and uncomfortable.
It doesn't
and,
like, look
the
like opposite.
What about the dance? What about the dance floor?
Oh, that we see for 2 seconds and then that girl gets really dizzy and gets murdered.
Jason just chokes her too. It's such a weak kill.
I know. I was you were saying like, use the disco ball.
Yeah,
do
I was
something.
Like, I was yelling like, use the yeah. disco like, ball, Jason. It's right there.
That's why like so much about this one fell flat for me, because like I like a dumb gimmick. I was watching this and thinking fondly of the was it Seven, Carrie versus yeah, Jason? Yeah. At least that one like has some strongly defined characters and like motivations there. And this one was like, okay, so what's this girl's thing with Jason? Are we going to find out at the very end like her mom was the slutty teenager who like ignored his death or something? It's like, no, my uncle pushed me into the lake when I was a kid and I thought I saw dead, creepy, dead
well,
boy Jason.
I have a read on this movie. I don't know if this has ever been said before. It's sort of similar to the dreaded they were dead the whole time thing, or it was all a dream.
Oh, she was killed in the lake as a kid.
No. Here's my take on this movie. I was kind of thinking throughout, because I think the real villain of this movie is Charles.
Oh yeah,
the principal.
The real villain
and
is
not
the budget.
Jason.
Mean uncle.
And I think I kind of feel like this movie almost seems like an EC Comics thing. I get the sense that maybe the only like through line through this movie is like she has this traumatic history with swimming and whatnot, and like she had like a vision we're not exactly sure if it was real or not, that of young Jason pulling her into the water when she tried to swim, and that kind of leads throughout the whole movie. This fear and this past trauma, and it doesn't come out until finally she realizes after taking some heroin against her will.
Yeah, after
where
she
she's
gets
like,
injected
"Wait a minute,
with heroin,
you pushed me in the water, like you tried to kill
Uncle
me,
Charles. You pushed me in the lake when I was a kid."
I think the time has come for your first swimming lesson. You don't want to end up drowning like that Voorhees boy, do you? He never learned how to swim either. Still in the bottom of this lake.
He is not.
Yes, indeed he is. And he's ready to pull down anybody who falls in and can't swim.
You're telling a lie.
Am I? Let's find out. Better swim, Rennie, before Jason pulls you down. Yes, you can, and you will. Come on, Randy, swim!
I kind of had a read on this movie is like, this is like an EC Comics tale where like the character has some past trauma. She unwittingly releases Jason as a form of revenge to kill Charles.
I mean, that would be cool if this movie gave her anything close to that kind of agency.
She didn't
in
do anything.
Any
she didn't even accidentally. It was like different people entirely.
It was different. Yeah, she didn't do anything, but like,
she was
like,
given nothing to do except to have people be like, "Rennie, where are you?"
I guess maybe I was trying to assign something to this movie to make it a little more interesting.
No, I mean, otherwise, I know why you wanted it to be good, because Jason on a boat is a good premise. It's a good slasher movie premise, because it's a locked, you know, like they can't get off the boat.
Area. Yeah,
and even Jason in the city could be like a fucked up, scary thing, but all of the city stuff as executed is like the goofiest, like ugliest shit.
It's a shame, like the reading, like the idea they had for it, I guess maybe this wouldn't have made sense, but he was like, the guy who was talking about it, like, I wanted to like pull all the stops. I wanted to have Jason in a Broadway play, Jason in a department
Look,
store.
That would have been
Jason
fucking
was
going to
jump
hilarious.
Off the Statue of Liberty into the water.
If the people in charge had any sense of humor about anything, they'd let him get goofy. And instead, it's just nothing.
Yeah, it turns New York into like, probably like Giuliani's like like a campaign ad.
I was going to say, this is just like a Republican wrote the New York parts to be like, and that's why we should eliminate welfare.
New York is nuts in this movie. Like, I know it was not the best in the 80s and early 90s, but like, it's like just vats of toxic ooze.
Literally, you got to get out of these sewers. They flood it with toxic waste every night.
Only alleyways that are just dark, dark except for the only lights in the city seem to be trash can fires.
Yeah, where people are doing drugs and they're
injecting it like hard drugs everywhere.
They're gonna inject you with heroin and then assault you and tell your friends to be like, "We'll kill you." They're like, "Well, I guess they're gonna kill her." Well.
Remember that? Well, that there's like a shot of like a guy who's like walking down Murder Alley and like they like mug him like just immediately and they're like his wallet has nothing because he's poor because he's living in New York and he throws it. They throw his wallet into like a tank of goo.
Yeah.
And then like a rat crawls out of it.
You know, welcome to New York.
New York.
You got waitresses putting out cigarettes and like you know, omelet specials or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you try to say like, please can I call the police? I'm afraid, she's like, honey.
Well, yeah, they go ahead. That's a great I actually really like that where it's like,
welcome
can we
to
call
New
the
York.
Cops? And she's like clearly on the phone, she's like, there's a payphone in the back. By the way, doesn't work
and it's broken. And then like a big scary guy shows up and she's calmly just like nods for the back of house guy, like the line cook, to come out. And that was a funny bit. And then they just Jason throws him through
it.
A
makes
wall.
Me think of like what could have been like a Broadway play. Like I'm imagining
he gets on the play
and he's like doing stuff, but then the guys are like, but the show must go on, keep the show going.
Or it's like some kind of like Shakespeare thing, and then there's like fake blood.
But then he killing someone.
And then he ducks out the back and there's pandemonium. Like that would be fucking
especially
cool.
89, it would have been Phantom of the Opera, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I would have been wearing the
mask. Would be a very thinly veiled Phantom of the Opera.
Well, I think like a big one would have been Sweeney Todd. He walks onto stage and like cuts a guy's throat for real. Yep.
And then he like walks into another theater that's showing
Cats.
And then he walks right back out.
Or just like,
Jason turns the camera and he's like, even I think it's silly.
Or like, it's like he walks in and like you see him walk out and it cuts to just the whole theater. Everyone's dead.
Yeah. We could have had some fun.
At one point in the trivia, it said he was like that boxing scene that he has on the rooftop with the Julius character later on. Apparently, that was supposed to take place in a boxing ring in Madison Square Garden.
Yes!
The drama they would have had. And as is, that scene is so like weirdly edited. There's
no music.
Yeah, no music.
Like maybe they were going for like, we're in it, we're in the moment, like he's just running at it, but it's like it's so weird. And then I mean he gets his head punched off by Jason, which is, you know, a good death, but
into the trash can,
right
below.
Into a dumpster. That was a pretty good one, but it was still just
what was the best kill.
This was a good kill. I liked guitar kill.
I like the idea of the guitar kill, but I can't get
I liked the aesthetic little like splash of blood on the pink guitar. That's always gonna work on me. But back on the boat, one thing that felt especially weak about this movie, and I know that like none of the Friday the 13th movies are necessarily like super strong with like characters, but every single character felt so like vague and unfinished. Like the Sean with his like disappointed captain dad.
Yeah.
And like what's
that was weird.
And what's Rennie's relationship to like this nice teacher who I guess has been like her friend or something. Like they drive up in the same car together and you're like, oh, I guess that's her mom. And it's like, oh, no, you're calling. Okay, who are you? And why do you have beef with her uncle? And I guess that's her uncle? Is he the principal? It's it's all very
vague.
It's all very vague. The captain dad especially was just like, why the fuck is this
that
here?
Scene is so weird. It, like, was there a scene before that we missed? Because
that's
he has
this movie feels like every other page from the script was like... just like put through the shredder.
Well, it's such a weird thing because we've never met the captain character before when we first, you know, when we first see him, this is the first, well, obviously when we first see him, it's the first time we're seeing him. But I mean, like,
but he's just like,
there
in
should
the...
have been a scene before that where, I don't know, because it's such an odd thing. Like, his son is in the cabin or in the cockpit, whatever you call it.
Whatever. Whatever. The captain's
for a boat.
Stuff.
And yeah. And he's
like
well,
here's
son,
the sextant.
Yeah, lead us away, son. And then he puts in some coordinates like, all right, why don't we go to da-da-da-da-da-da.
But, like,
and
I guess
like,
he got it
aren't you forgetting
wrong?
Something?
Yeah, and he's like, I
he
don't
forgot
know.
To
like
blow
that.
The horn.
He's not even that, like, much of a jerk about it. He's mostly just, like, kind of like, oh, you're forgetting, like,
Okay. How about we start up the engines and come around 180 degrees?
You forgetting something, mister? Send out the International Maritime Signal, followed by a security broadcast warning other ships that we are underway.
But it's like, why would an 18-year-old child be, like, ready to drive this huge commercial boat?
Well, he has this moment, this reaction, where he's like, you forgot to blow the whistle to let people know we're on our way.
Like it should be significant to us, and it just is... Like, okay, I get, and then the sun storms away.
I think there is an implication that the whistle is what alerts Jason to go on the boat. Like, because when we see the whistle, we see Jason, like, show up, like, on the next shot.
Is it?
Maybe.
Oh, I was just perplexed by, because he holds out, like, the little... He's like, you got to blow the horn and then get on the radio and let people know you're on your way. And he holds the mic out like pleadingly.
He's like exactly. You're like, what is this relation? Like, what?
Yeah. Also,
why
he
is this
looks
here?
Like he looks like he's like 65 years old and his son is 18.
Yeah.
Like that. That's another story.
Like
right there.
What? I'm sure there's a rich backstory here between the boy and his father. But it just felt so weird, and I guess the mean uncle doesn't want him to date his niece for some reason. Probably because boats are so scary to her.
Too much going on in all this.
Well, I feel like there's like they should have just clung on to the mean uncle bit because that's the meatiest part of the story.
Oh yeah,
I feel like the actor is really giving it his all because I really dislike this character.
Yeah, he has just like a terrifically like lined face, and he's always kind of like raising his eyebrows at people in like a condescending way that I really like his performance and the like, you know, this like weirdly like abusive relationship with the niece that when we like finally get to the flashback where find out he pushed her into a lake as a kid has
Jason's
this like
getcha.
Very like creepy energy leading up to that I thought was going to be like a sexual abuse thing to kind of just add to their like very controlling like weird relationship, and then was like, no, you just tried to drown her, you know, which is still bad, but like
and speaking of weird sexual stuff, so we mentioned earlier that this graduating class, one of the students, I forget her name.
Tamara, the mean girl doing
Tamara,
coke.
Apparently her biology report is due
It's due
graduation.
At the cruise. Yeah, you better turn in your biology report, young lady.
I'll be coming around to your stateroom in exactly 15 minutes, Miss Mason, so you better have your biology project ready or I'll be phoning your parents.
They're out of town.
No. Well, I'll make sure that you remain on board while your classmates are out seeing the sights.
Well, here's my theory. I think he wanted to sexually exploit her. Like, because this guy is clearly a creep, and it makes sense for a biology report to be due after graduation on the celebratory cruise ship.
Also, biology is like, you take that freshman year. They're seniors. Like... Yeah, this is clearly like a euphemism for something.
Like, I think he wanted like sexual stuff going on in this thing. And
he's like, I will be meeting you in your room to see your biology report.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, was that all planned out? Was she in on it? Was she not?
Ready to blackmail him with help from the film guy.
Was she? Because I couldn't tell if the film kid just happened to walk in. No, they had a line.
They had a line where like she and him were like, "You got it," or something. Like it seemed like it was a setup.
It was
thing.
Planned,
and okay. We'd already established that like he'll do anything for her anyway.
Okay, I wasn't quite sure.
So I support her blackmail of the creep evil uncle. But it still was all very weird.
It's just too much. Mike, I think you're right. There's too many weird little threads in this that they could just cut and beef up like the actual bits that feel like they have any sort of story to them.
I'm sure just like dumbass studio bad ideas that were like, let's put these two ghosts of Manhattan's on a boat. Like, put it together. But did not need to be those two things. Boat would have been fine. Boat would have been solid even. But they had to go to New York. They had to see that Lady Liberty.
Like, I would have rather them gone full out with the boat gag rather than half-ass a New York bit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There could have been a lot more, you know, harpoon moments. I like that Jason gets to go through, like, that whole array of boat weapons of, like, a gun. And,
yeah, the harpoon's good.
And a harpoon. And a wind paint. Like, a what is it? He, like, throws one kid on
like
some...
Radio?
Yeah, on some spikes.
Yeah.
All pretty good.
It would
have
been cool if he would have somehow killed someone with the anchor, but we didn't get that.
That would have been good, too. But instead, yeah, they're like, the boat is on fire and sinking and et cetera. And then it's like, oh, there's 40 minutes left here. We got to go to New York.
And that's what shocked me, because this movie is an hour and 40 minutes long. And in my memory, only the last like 15 minutes or so takes place in New York. But surprisingly, it's 40 minutes in faux New York.
Yeah.
Which is way
feels
more
like
than
a
I remember.
Long
maybe
time.
It's because like so much of it is just like nondescript black alleyway.
Like, yeah. By the docks or whatever.
Yeah, or
because,
by the docks.
Because,
like, they're really just, like, is one scene that is New York.
Well, there's,
York.
Like, no one around, too. And it's, like, it's New York City. You want to see a lot of people bustling.
Exactly.
It should be bustling.
It should
it's
be bustling.
It's a city that never sleeps.
Yeah. I guess we get the subway a little bit. We get Times Square, and we get the diner.
And
that's
you get
kind
you,
of it.
You get, like, 2 seconds each of the subway and Times Square, because, obviously, those are the more expensive / complicated to shoot.
Yeah.
But they're the most interesting to look at because New York is very interesting to look at.
Also, to speak to the Times Square moment, the one moment where you can tell, like, oh, it's actually in New York City now. Do you guys think that maybe the reason Jason doesn't kill anyone in the scene, he just simply lifts his mask up and scares some street creeps? Like, do you think the reason was New York City didn't want there to be, like, a murder scene in Times Square?
Yeah, they probably don't want you to be filming your, like, dude wielding a weapon kind of scene.
I bet they didn't care about that back then.
Well, maybe.
Well, hold on. Well, I disagree, because in the promotional material for this movie, the first poster was the I Love New York symbol with Jason slashing through it. And evidently, according to the ChatDB, the New York City Tourism Department like sued Paramount Studios, like, you cannot put
well,
crap like that.
I think that makes a little more sense because they're using like a
iconography,
like
a,
yeah, like some
tourism.
Sort of like copyrighted or trademarked logo or something.
That's, I could still see the, like, you know, the panicked pre Giuliani New York being like, well, people already think it's a piece of shit. We can't have Jason killing people here.
We already got so many toxic
waste
vats.
Oh, my God, all
around.
Of our toxic... We already had Son of Sam.
Was that actually a thing? Because I feel like
toxic
every
waste
New
vats?
York set movie in the 80s... Yes, toxic waste.
I was mean, that... according to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there was toxic waste, like,
everywhere.
All that ooze. Oh, man.
Well, and also, I mean, we're jumping all around, but who really cares?
Who cares? It's this movie...
Lost my grandparents to the waste.
To the ooze?
To the toxic waste. Well, I was going to say, like... It's such a wild concept. It can't there can't possibly be any sort of truth to it. The idea that the New York City sewers are flooded with toxic waste at midnight every night?
No, it's like it's a New York City sewer system. It's just flooded with other kinds of sewage.
That sounds like
it's just full of garbage and poop and like and water. Like
but the guy says toxic waste.
He does.
Yeah, I don't think there's toxic
waste. I think it's just regular old like garbage
really
and shit.
Really bad for you.
Oh yeah, it's definitely like poison, but just the regular kind.
I bet if you were flooded with it, you'd have to like really go to the sick. Hospital.
Well, the funny thing is, like after we see the thing get flooded, like it almost looks like soap at the end. Like, oh, maybe this is just to clean the sewers.
Actually, it's good.
Like, so
it's basically a cleaning solution. Mm.
I think it's our spring.
Oh my God. All the rats are gone.
But it's like, it's kind of interesting because even though this is like lower tier Friday 13th for me, I like the iconography of them running through those sewer hallways and stuff with like the lights bobbing left and right. Like to me, that I don't know. I kind of like that setting, even though the movie itself is kind of crap. Like I like Jason getting toxic waste thrown on his face and he turns into a puppet for a second.
Oh, that
and
was
just
good.
Sort of stumbles around like
I know he's like
he turns into a Muppet at the end of this movie.
it's the best part. It's I like when they show his fucked up face.
Well, and there's an interesting moment too, and again, this gets back to my EC Comics theory. Like when the
he looks like an EC Comics.
Yeah, like when the torrent of toxic waste stuff comes flowing at them, there's a moment before it hits Jason where he like spits up water, and it's like the suggestion is like, oh, he's still like a kid drowning somehow or something, and he spits up water. It's kind of an interesting thing that the movie does, but it's very confusing as to. Was this all like some weird hallucination from the main character? Was this really happening? How did he turn into a kid again? It's all very confusing.
What year did any of this take place? Since I think Jason died in the 50s.
They should have had like it revealed that like Charles, when he was a kid, was one of the counselors who let Jason drown or something.
That could be something. Yeah.
That would have been something.
Something. what a film.
This series is really good at just like having great ideas and like fumbling
and just
the
being
ball.
Like, I don't know.
it never really coalesces and it always fails in the execution. And just this one, and it's funny, this one had, despite not really filming in New York except for that one scene, this was the biggest budgeted Friday the 13th movie in the series at the time with $5 million.
Oh,
it was also $5 million.
It was also the lowest grossing of the series to date, only grossing about $15 million, which is not good.
it just, like we said, it looks bad. Like, it looks bad.
Well, they just don't sell. I feel like I've seen other movies that weren't shot in New York that sell it as New York way better. You know, like you could fake New York. Like it has been done before.
Sure.
Where you could fake New York. Like, if I remember correctly, does Teenage Ninja Turtles, like that was actually shot like in the South or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that was in like.
Like mainly?
Durham, North Carolina or something like weird that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah,
sure.
But they get enough like good insert shots of New York to fool you. And I feel like this movie just doesn't really do that because the insert shots are just of, like you said, nondescript warehouses and docks.
And like smoke.
Yeah. And you know, toxic waste everywhere. Like that's all that they do to sell it as quote unquote New York. And it's just like, guys, you couldn't get some stock footage of New York and just put the skyline in every now and then.
That's way too hard. That's too much work. Oh, we have to be back in Vancouver in an hour.
Well, was there anything that you guys liked about the movie?
I liked the mean girl and her classic mean girl moment of when she and her friend like get busted for doing drugs by a creepy uncle. The main mean girl is like, He's like, what did she say? Like, that narc bitch niece. I heard she's afraid of water. And then it was like, I'm going to push her off of the boat. And then does in front of a teacher. I just love when people are evil like that. Like the mean girl in the last one when we just see like the Carrie girl like drop her suitcase or something and the mean girl's like, there goes the neighborhood. It's like, why are you so mean?
Yeah, needlessly mean.
So that narc bitch niece.
Jesus.
Coming like, through here looking for her lost dog.
The friend after the attempted drowning incident is like, hey, let's not hang out anymore. And the mean girl's just like, wow.
I think that this movie, like, because it has some change in scenery, has decent, like, it moves more than some of the other ones, which are a bit like more of a slog. I feel like it wasn't, there were moments every once in a while where that would be great, like punch the head off or,
look, I did enjoy the uncle's death where he is drowned by Jason in a barrel of toxic waste.
Upside down, he gets dunked.
He's like jostled around like he's giving a kid a swirly.
It's just such a bummer because if they could have just easily gone just one extra step and have Jason pull the guy out to sort of reveal the body and his face could have like melted off or something.
Yeah, and he's got the Muppet gurgly face.
Because he needed the worst kill in the movie. He needed the most brutal kill. And they get halfway there. You just got to see face melt.
One of the most brutal kill was a naked teenage girl who like almost slept with her teacher. What if that was the most upsetting kill in the movie?
About that kill, Tamara's death in the movie, did that feel like mean-spirited to
it
you guys?
It felt needlessly like terrorizing.
Well, because he walks in while she's in the shower, and the way that he like punches the mirror to just grab just a shard of glass seemed like particularly harsh,
because it's usually like Jason grabs the loofah on a stick and stabs you through the eye with it. Instead it was like, yeah, I'm gonna smash the mirror and grab a shard of glass and then tower over this naked teenager. And we're staying on this shot for like a while. I didn't like that part.
Meanwhile, he just like politely strangles that one lady on the dance floor.
Yeah, he just kind of holds her up for a while. This one, not my favorite of these movies, I'll say.
Well, it's just odd because you don't see anything, but yet at the same time, like I said, it feels so vindictive almost.
And I
like
know,
the way that he punches that mirror.
I know this is the like murdering teens for having sex franchise, but it rubbed me the wrong way, especially after the movie took the time to be like, look at her whole body in underwear as she's going to seduce the creepy uncle. And it's like, again, we're spending a lot of time on this naked teenager, and I kind of wish we weren't. And again, I know she's 35. They all are, but
it just felt like a weird layer. Yeah, it was a weird layer that I feel like a lot of the previous movies didn't have. So, and it made it feel a little uncomfortable. Honestly, I was like, I don't
love
like
those
this.
Ones. Didn't love those. I liked when he killed the like captain and first mate too, and then he like set up the captain in a creepy little scene for his son to find.
Yeah, that was good.
That's some good creepy shit.
And the boat's rocking, of course.
The boat's rocking.
Eventually the body falls over.
And then he, like, they try to radio to shore, but then he cuts the radio. Like, that's all good, solid slasher stuff.
Like, the setups, but I just really wish this movie was... It's an R-rated movie. Come on, let him have fun.
Let's have a little fun. Let Jason murder a Broadway cast.
Like, I feel like every kill is neutered, except for the head punch-off scene. Like, in the beginning of the movie, when he kills the two teens on the houseboat or whatever, like, when he kills that girl, it's so kind of pokes her. He's like,
And then she's like...
I did say this out loud. It's not that girl's fault that this movie is not very good, but also she made the same expression throughout her entire scene from like giggly.
Not her scene, like her entire performance.
Her entire performance, yeah. She did not move her face once. But again, whatever. She's in a movie to get stabbed by Jason. That's okay. But yeah, when he goes to kill, she's like hiding in a crawl space and he like very slowly moves to like poke her with something. And then right at the end, like, he like, just gets, like jolts it into her, in, like, chest.
It's like not even really her heart.
And then she's like, and she's
the tiniest little boop.
Yes, just the way that it's comical the way the scene is set up, because like it's the imagine the point of view is her looking up and Jason just very slow, it almost felt like Austin Powers, like, yeah, I'm very slowly gonna get you,
because yeah, wouldn't like, yeah, the scary like thrilling slashing thing for him to be very
there is
quickly
no slashing.
Like
there is
bam,
no,
I'm
you can't call this
you.
Slashing.
Yeah, it doesn't.
This is poking.
This is a poking and punching movie.
It's like, oh, actually, Jason, to penetrate the skin, you have to be going a little faster.
Oh, you're just
kind of,
you're just
kind of
digging it in a little bit.
Me a cut.
It just kind of isn't fun.
And I guess, like, yeah, it will become infected, and over time, you will.
And
die.
Now I'm gonna close this lid and lock it, and you'll die eventually.
No food or water unless someone comes to find you.
Which they might. We're at, you know, we're not far from houses. Yeah, this one, I just, like I said, it had me thinking fondly about Carrie versus Jason, which is not
itself
a perfect film.
Itself is not a great movie, yes.
But, you know, maybe it's just the nostalgia of, like, man, there was
for the last
for the month, for the, and then, of course, at the end of the day, I'm just thinking about, is it six he's back, Jason Lives? Because that's the best one.
I thought it was funny that the movie opens. Well, first off, we should mention, like, at the beginning, the very, very beginning, when the Paramount logo shows up, instead of the titular, instead of the typical ch, you
it's
know,
it's J Jason.
It's like Jason.
Welcome to New York.
It's
which
weird.
Kind of. Yeah, it put a bad taste in my mouth. Jason.
That's stupid.
And then, oh, God, the stupid narration, they're like, I'm looking at the quote right now. It's like this. We live in claustrophobia. And you're like, all right, okay. Just finish off your jerk off.
The little intro thing, too, is so such a bummer because it, like, if you weren't getting ready for disappointment, this isn't going to take place in New York. How about we set the scene? New York.
Just kidding. Vancouver.
It's like literally sweeping, like setting the table,
yeah,
and then just pulling it out from under you.
We live in claustrophobia, the land of steel and concrete, trapped by dark waters. It's like, oh, wow. And should we start snapping now for the slam poetry?
It's like this. We live in claustrophobia, the land of steel and concrete, trapped by dark waters. There is no escape, nor do we want it. We've come to thrive on it, and each other. You can't get the adrenaline pumping without the terror, good people. I love this town.
That narration sounds like it's almost setting up Jason as Travis Bickle in New York or
something. Yeah, it's like, is that what we're doing here? Is that what we're doing?
I'm gonna clean the filth.
I gotta clean up these streets. I'm Jason. I gotta clean up all the toxic waste.
Can I say I appreciate a sequel that's eight entries in and still goes to the trouble of being like, okay, so here's what happened to the previous movies.
So you know about Jason, right? Well, I'll tell you all about it. Don't worry. Oh, that was another thing.
And his mom.
That pleased me. We get a Mrs. Voorhees shout out.
Finally some recognition.
Yeah. She is so often ignored and
written out of history.
Her murderous history is very important.
I also appreciate that this boyfriend, as he tells the story and later pulls a prank on his girlfriend, I love that he goes to the trouble of maintaining the canon with the mask as far as,
yeah.
Oh,
he's
well,
like, well, that's the iconic Jason mask. So I when I pull this prank, yeah, on my girlfriend mid-sex,
I gotta make sure that I put like an axe mark in the top part because that happened in part three. And
actually,
I gotta
it was established in three.
Continuity. Otherwise, she's not going to believe it, and this prank is going to fall apart, and I'm going to look like an idiot.
I'm not going to have sex tonight, if that's the case.
Yes.
Also, shout out to the teen who interrupts making out with his girlfriend to be like, "You heard about Jason?"
Yeah, it's like, it's now so I'm gonna dress up
and
time.
Pretend to be like, and now I'm gonna pretend. She's like, "What's that?" He's like, no, you wouldn't. Never mind. No, tell me. Like, what is that?" "Oh, well, it's just all these fucked up murders," which she's never heard of, because everyone in this town always forgets about the murder spree.
And it looks like the camp is back up. We see there's like a functioning camp with power in the
background. Yeah, it's winter camp.
It just keeps
just
popping
outside
up.
Of just within the FM radio frequency of Manhattan, apparently, yeah. too.
Shout out to Camp Crystal Lake grads who are coming to New York today.
Well, and that
or
leads
tomorrow.
To another question. So they're on this houseboat, they get killed, and I guess presumably Jason just hangs out on the houseboat until it kind of drifts into this pier.
Cracking up
so, like,
some cold ones.
Yeah, he's like, kinda, what do they have in the fridge?
Do you guys think he was listening to the radio station that they were...
Yeah, definitely.
New York City.
What else are you going to do? He's been on back under the water for however many years or hundreds of, you know, decades.
Hundreds of decades.
I don't know. You know, these...
The timeline is unclear.
Remember when we saw his grave in 6 and it was 800 years old?
Oh, yeah, his grave. How could I forget?
How could you forget?
Got electrocuted in the grave.
I wonder if Alice Cooper is still number one in the charts. The last time I died, he had that hit song.
That great song about me being back.
Surely he's written another good song about me.
Oh, man, it's all shit.
Who are these new kids on the block? I don't know about that.
One of the other... points of music in this movie when Jason kicks the boombox that those punks are listening to, and this song is, what is it? It's like, God, living in the city ain't no big deal or something like that, and it's truly in the cadence of like, my name is
city. Ain't no big deal.
My name is Jason, and I'm here to say like, that's what kind of music they're listening to, and they're like, just like dime store ass punks. Who have some chains and knives, but then Jason shows him his googly
skinniest,
face.
Skinniest punks I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're like on a trip from where they live.
With the Twig Gang.
Where they live in Brooklyn, and like they came here after Hebrew school or something. Like,
it was actually the Beastie Boys.
And then they were falling in with the wrong crowd, and then they saw that really fucked up guy. God. And they got scared straight, and they're like, let's get into the music like we said would, guys.
Beastie Boys were around in the 80s. Could you imagine if the Beastie Boys were in this movie?
I
if there
like
was like an interaction?
They'd be down.
Cameo.
They'd have fun with it.
To speak to Jason's appearance in this movie, so I actually like gooey Jason. Like, he
like
is consistently wet.
Is really good.
He's so, yeah, wet. There's a whole film.
I like when they take when you see his mask off in this one. It's one of my favorite mask off moments. Like, it's just gross. It's super gross, and I appreciate it.
Well, he looks like someone who's been underwater for, like, decades.
Yeah.
Who often gets electrocuted.
He's just like perpetually gooey and slimy. And like, I love how every step he takes, it goes.
It's a heavy boot, but also a wet squelch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the sound of wet socks.
Yeah, he just looks like a frog man in this movie.
His socks have been wet for so long. That's why he kills. That's what this is.
God, I'm just, again, I'm thinking of like what could have been, and like when we heard about like, oh, there was going to be a shot of him in a department store or something. Imagine him where like
he gets a new outfit.
Yeah, well, he's like going into like one of those like suit places where like the guy's working there. Like, oh, hello, sir. Let me. This will like
what,
he's like
we?
Fitted out with like a new suit and like.
I just want like a ruthlessly polite department store employee to be like. And would you, so our current menswear styles are emphasizing, and he just like gives him a straight faced like spiel. Great. And we could have that.
And he could have stolen some like doubloons from a sunken treasure underwater at Camp Crystal Lake. That's how he pays for everything.
Yeah, sure.
That's how he
just holds his hand out and drops a bunch of gold coins, and the guy just snaps his fingers like, all right, let's get this guy tailored.
We do accept gold coins. Yep. Okay.
Like, they're trying to fit him and like his like fingers fall off or something. They're like decaying.
The comedy potential. They gave us none of that.
You see like a fight promoter after he punches that guy's head off. I've never seen such raw talent.
The arm on this guy.
Vince McMahon is like salivating. Yeah. Oh, what if he was like, this is the 80s. They could have, like, he could have been wrestling. Like, prime 80s stuff going on.
Well, before it sounds like we're wrapping up, but I want to give one shout out here to the Canadian cop that they encounter.
Oh, he was so Canadian.
They're in New York City. Their friend's been kidnapped by the heroin rapists, and
New York City is full of.
Yeah, and this Canadian cop, clearly Canadian, is just like, well, you know, you guys showed out. You look like decent folk, so I'll check it out.
And immediately killed by Jason.
You're right. I find it a tall tale indeed, but you seem like honest folks, so I'm inclined to believe at least some of what you say.
Like, you would think it'd be more fun if it's a New York cop. It's like, you guys, you're out of your mind. Like, welcome to Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah, no, he's like Canadian in accent and in spirit.
Yes.
He's like, okay, I'll be helpful, eh?
Oh, of course I'd like to help you out.
Find folk here in the
city?
Oh,
jeez.
Usually I don't find decent folk like you wandering around the docks down here with all the trash can fires and the toxic waste.
I was just finishing up my my Timbits from Tim Hortons.
Oh, jeez, you guys need help?
Well, I kind of
good
like
thing my wife's taping the Gretzky game back at home.
I kind of like that bit with the car when they all get in the back and just the Julius's like severed head is just sitting up in the front and they all just sort of, for whatever reason, it's like they have a hard time getting out of the car at this point. I don't know why.
Yeah, you gotta, there should have been like yakety sax going on.
So like one of them grabs the head and they're like, whoa!
All of a sudden, like Jason is in the car, and they look at each other like, "What?" He's like, "I don't know."
I feel like I've said this in past Friday the 13th episodes. There should be more Scooby Doo shit happening. There should be running into a bunch of doors, and then running out of different doors, and then facing each other like, "Whoa!"
They run out of the door, and like one of the kids has the mask on for some reason,
and then Jason's like, "Huh?"
Oh, and he like, gives it. Sorry, gives it back.
It might as well be a copy. Yeah, it might as well be a comedy scene because, like, they don't seem to. It's so funny. They're running away from Jason. They get in the car and they run him over, but it's like the weakest, like, running a person over I've seen in
the
movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and then it's like,
clearly
he's
not
dead. We did it.
Well, their attitude is so, like, dismissive of Jason's. Like, well, we hit him with the car. Surely he's dead. Like, ordinarily in movies like this, you can at least understand how the characters are like.
For instance,
if I blew a guy away with a shotgun. I would be like, yeah, he's dead. And there would be a degree of safety. But if you just tap him with your car,
how would you think that would work?
But they act like they like ran him over or something. Like, no, you just tapped him with the car.
But they tapped him hard enough for Rennie to get back her memory of her creepy uncle pushing her into a lake on purpose.
It's so weirdly done. Like, the car crashes, and
so,
they all
so
forget.
So much of the editing of this movie just is confusing and hurts it.
They run out of the car, and I guess all three of them forget that the nameless teacher that's been helping them is in the car still.
This is Mrs. Nice Teacher.
They're like, oh, we forgot she was in there. The car blows up. And at this,
Did the car blow up?
To be fair to Rennie.
And then Rennie is like looking at the fiery wreck, just like, huh. One time I got pushed into a lake.
I thought about this. Like, to be fair to Rennie, she is still high on heroin.
That's right. She was just injected with heroin by a guy who was trying to rape her.
I could forgive her for staring into like a fire, you know, and like having memories come back.
Right. I'm being a little harsh.
But it's just like, it is weird that the other two characters that have not been shot up with heroin against
just
their will.
Like, whoa!
Oh, I guess we forgot about her in that car.
Oh, no, she was in there. Oh. And she truly, like, she's presented kind of as, you know, like the angel on Rennie's shoulder, you know, as opposed to the devil of the uncle. She gets maybe like 10 lines of dialogue and none of us can remember her name.
It almost, the way they dispatch her character, it almost felt like the actor playing that part didn't come back and they're like, oh, well, how do we write her?
The director.
How do we write her out of the movie? I guess we'll just kill her in the car.
they filmed it and they like forgot, like someone came back like, wait,
What happened to the teacher?
We never showed what happened to the teacher.
They're like, ah, yeah. She She exploded. She was in the car and it exploded. Yep. We're going to do some reshoots and that's fine.
That's what it felt like to me, because it just seemed odd that they immediately leave the car and they just leave her in there for no reason.
Well, she had fulfilled her maternal role of giving Rennie a pen that she
eventually used
to stab Jason in the eye, which was a good moment. Very clearly being set up during that moment of like, you know, here's a very sharp, shiny pen.
There's almost, it's when for you see the pen, it's so sharp. There's almost like, you almost want like the cartoon, like, bing.
Yeah.
Like little sound effect.
He's like, if anyone can put this pen to good use, it's you. Is this her English teacher? Is this like a guidance counselor?
Her mom?
Is this a mom, vice principal, anything? Any kind of line of dialogue to tell us who this woman is?
I feel like I would have rather have seen her stab the rapist guy with that pen.
Right?
Like,
it's like she forgot that she had it on her. But no, we need Jason to do that, because he may be an incel, but even he is against rape.
Yeah, for him, sex is sex. It's all bad. Like, I don't like rape. I don't like consensual sex. I don't like any sex.
I don't like any of it. I'm going to kill you all.
Killing anybody who's doing it.
And I hate New Yorkers.
There are a couple moments where I chuckled to myself. Like, when Jason gets revived, he climbs up on the boat. He's soaking wet, and he gets his spear gun. And he just has a moment when it cuts to him, and he's, like, in the same room as the teens having sex. And his chest is heaving so much. You just hear his inner monologue, like, I've been alive again for 2 minutes.
And I already found some teens who are fucking.
I can't believe this place.
Do you think he's upset that it keeps happening, or he's really excited that this is his eternal punishment? He has to kill all these already.
It's almost like the same vibe later when he kills the rapist guy and she runs away. He kind of turns to the camera, like, you know, his face is in the foreground of the camera, and like, again, I hear his inner monologue, like, so no thank you. I'd say thank you for saving my life, Jason.
Wow, what a bitch. What a narc bitch niece.
Gotta kill her now.
It's like, she didn't have sex before, but she wasn't grateful for me saving her life, so now I gotta kill her.
I mean, that's how you know he's an incel. Didn't see any of the past movies, that's how you know.
Well, any other thoughts on Jason Takes Manhattan?
We really could have had it all, but these movies, for how campy, no pun intended, they are also, like, often so afraid of having fun. It's frustrating. I was also thinking fondly of Jason X, which was at least, like, really stupid. Even though I remember we found parts of that one boring, too, but I was just thinking about, like, we're on the horny spaceship, and we're wearing our leather pants, and it's like, oh, that was pretty fun.
In our sweaters, for some reason.
In our tiny little sweaters. It's the future. I guess you don't know what you got till it's gone, is my point.
Yeah, and I think I got to agree with Paramount, like, pulling the plug after this one. After this movie,
they were like, yeesh.
After this movie, they sold the rights to New Line Studios, who would later make, I think, three or four more Friday the 13th movies. Until then, later, it would die out as well. But yeah, this is kind of the end of an era, this movie. Friday the 13th began in 1980 at the start. It opened the decade and it closed the decade. It opened on a high and then closed on a very low note. All the way down in the sewer, this movie.
All the way down to the toxic sewers.
It was diminishing returns since like part five or so, I think. But
six, my favorite, he's back.
Well, no, I meant like box office wise. Oh, like, fair.
Quality hit its high at six.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree, still, you know, three times return on the investment.
Yeah,
true. But I think they knew, like, all right, this one was just
getting a little
particularly
old.
Bad. We should just let it go.
Getting
and
a
also,
bit stale.
If like when you read into the trivia, like, this whole series was kind of an embarrassment for Paramount.
Yeah, because, like, this is Paramount. Like, these trashy movies that we've been talking about. It is wild. This is like Paramount.
Like, I think initially, I want to say the first four movies were kind of independently made and then distributed by Paramount. So there seemed to be a little bit of distance at that point. But I think after from five on, these were made by Paramount. And it's kind of just like, it felt like a dirty thing that they had where it's like, yeah, these things make money, but God, we don't feel good about producing them.
I hate it. Yeah.
This is our dirty little secret, these Friday 13th movies. We just kind of want to wash our hands of them.
You're like, oh, they made some money. Okay, great. Yeah. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah. So, and I think after eight entries, like at that point, when you don't, eight is a lot of anything for a movie series. And it's, yeah, for something like this, where the concept is so plain and dumb, like you can't really stretch. You can only stretch it so far before it's like, we got to let it go.
Come on. Got to cut this out.
Well, I guess we should get into recommendations. Jackie, I'll start with you. Would you recommend Friday 13th Part 8?
I don't think that I would. Like I said, you want a fun Friday the 13th. Six exists. He lives. Jason's back. He's the man behind the mask. I have waxed poetic about that film before, and I'll do it again. Because it's a lot of fun. Unlike this movie, which is kind of confusing and, you know, not that entertaining overall to me. But I don't know where I was going with that. No, I wouldn't recommend it. Sorry. There's better ones.
What about you, Mike?
I want to. It's not like the worst of these, and it's like enjoyable. I would put it on par with Jason X. I do think something that helps it, though, is the fact it has multiple locations. You know,
yeah.
Even if the execution on it isn't great, it is a little more exciting because I can't even remember which one it was, but maybe it was like two or three, but maybe the first one even. But some of these Friday the 13th movies really became slogs to me when it was like, okay, we have like an hour to go and I know it's just going to be killing in the same.
In the forest.
We're still just at camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you.
But this one, you know, it's at least it's like, okay, well, you know, we're in Manhattan now and like, oh, Times Square, or we're in a boat, or, you know, that was fine.
I agree. I wouldn't recommend it, but like going into this movie, I was almost like kind of dreading it. Cause like I said, I think 7 and 8 are kind of at the bottom for me for the Friday 13th movies. But weirdly, and so honestly, like this is one I kind of avoid. Like it's not one I revisit when I go and watch Friday 13th movies for the spooky season. But I was kind of pleasantly surprised. Like again, I was latching
expectations
onto,
were low. It sounds.
Expectations were low. And I was latching onto some things that, frankly, probably aren't there in the movie. I'm doing some work for the movie, admittedly, like the EC Comics deal. Yeah. But it wasn't as bad as I remember. I wouldn't recommend it, but I'll just say I've seen worse slasher movies than this.
There's a lot of bad ones out there.
Admittedly, it's a very low bar, but it's not the worst slasher movie ever, I would say. If I'm being kind to Jason Takes Manhattan.
That's big of
that's
you
a movie
to be kind.
Poster quote if I ever heard one. If I'm being kind, it's not the worst movie out there.
When you said poster, I will say this. I think the teaser, I think probably the best thing about this movie is the teaser trailer. Oh. Where it's basically just New York. You hear the music, that like saxophone music,
and the music.
You see the New York skyline, and it just slowly zooms in on this figure who's kind of like looking out at the skyline, this majestic New York skyline. And suddenly, a runner runs into frame, and the figure we've seen off in the distance turns around, and it's Jason. And like it zooms in on all these New Yorkers going
Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Now, New York has a new problem.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
And would you
deliver on that promise?
They couldn't
yeah,
fucking
that's the thing.
Dare.
Yeah. It, a lot of hype, but it just couldn't deliver.
I would have been so, you know, except the movie for what it is now, knowing what it is, like, I would have been so upset in 1989 if
yeah,
I, like, saw that ad
the
and
year
then
you were being born
and was like, you see the first bit of the movie where it's like,
okay,
New York and you're like,
great,
you're
let's
munching
do
the
it.
Popcorn, you're getting ready, and then it like cuts to the lake, and I just imagine like people like panic, like looking around like, movie guys,
what's happening?
Did they change the reels?
Fuck something
what?
Up.
Oh no.
They started to spread the news and then they cut it off.
He's just taking a boat.
Still on the fucking boat.
Well, that's the question, guys. Where do we go from here? Do we go backwards or forwards?
I mean, we've already been to the future.
We have been to the future. The only question remains, do we go back to a new or do we go forward and go Jason Goes to Hell, or do we go backwards
to
Goes to Hell? Goes
to Hell? I mean, surely this can't be another amazing idea that this franchise squanders.
They do nothing with. With the devil.
He's actually, he's like in a bus for like an hour, and then he goes to hell for like the climax of the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he's actually trying to do his taxes for an hour 30, and the last 20 minutes he goes to hell, and he does taxes with the devil.
What do you think, if you guys recall that Simpsons episode where Homer goes to hell and there's the ironic punishment department where he's fed donuts, what do you guys think the ironic punishment would be for Jason Voorhees?
Sex with like tons of beautiful people.
It's
just like beautiful people wanting to have
hunks
sex
and
with
babes
him.
Just being like, please, Jason, yeah.
No.
And some version of like there's like a creepy Oedipal, like some version of his mom there too or something.
And everything around him is like soft and padded, so he can't use it as a weapon.
And he doesn't have a little mask.
No mask.
Well,
and
it's sounds
completely dry clothes.
All right. Well, it sounds like because I was going to say, would you rather have a new beginning or would you rather see Jason Goes to Hell? I think I have my answer.
Didn't we see a new beginning? Isn't that the one with like the kid?
No, that's the final chapter.
Oh, okay.
New beginning. Corey Feldman does show up briefly in part 5 of New Beginning, but only as a cameo.
Is New Beginning part 7?
Oh, that's 5 you said, right?
Yeah, New Beginning is part 5.
I
and that one also
this description of
Part 5 is known as one of the most controversial of the series.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. Maybe we should, since the going to a location has been a bust with this one, maybe we switch it up.
A location of hell wouldn't
A new beginning sounds nice. It sounds like what I want after this.
That's what I personally would like.
Let's get a new beginning before we go to hell. We can go to hell once we've exhausted all other options.
We can go to hell whenever we want.
All right, let's go to hell, see if there's something there.
I tried it in the big city. I tried slashing in the big city. It didn't quite work out.
That
I think I need to make my way back home.
It just chews you up and spits you out.
Mom, I'm at home.
It's
imagine
paying rent.
It was like
imagine Jason at a payphone in New York. He's calling his little shack in the
He's
woods.
Like, Mom.
They don't even
yeah, it's like,
care
Mom,
that I look weird here.
Everyone's
I messed up.
Weird.
Like, I took a cruise ship to New York. Things got out of hand.
And I don't have any money. And Mom, please.
The reverse shot, you cut to, like, the shack, and it's just, like, there's an open phone, like, off the receiver, and it's just the severed head of the mom, like, as you hear Jason talking on
amazing,
the phone.
Amazing.
Or you just see like a little answering machine turn on, like, Mom, are you there? Pick up.
Hey, it's Jason. I
did it again.
I need some help.
Yes. I told you would make it to the big city, Jason. Well, all right. We're going I was about to say the Trek cast. This isn't the Trek cast.
No.
When we have our next obligatory Friday 13th episode, it'll be a new beginning for us all, guys. We're going back to our roots. Enough of this big city life. I want a more rustic setting, more simpler.
Take me to a little lake. Crystal Lake. No open oceans here.
Yeah. We'll be back next time with a new beginning. It's such a lame title. Sorry.
Jason. Sounds like it's a back-to-school movie.
Friday the 13th, a new beginning.
A new beginning. This fall,
there's a new kid in school.
His name is Jason.
There's a new kid in school.
This voyage is doomed.
Yeah, tell me about it.